this week on another special guest podcast. Chelsea go all-out trench warfare against Tottenham as Marcus Alonso proves his worth, and Lloris struggles in just the latest example of the French setting up a wall and the opposition quickly finding a way around it. Elsewhere, Manchester United say bye to the Swans as they rack up another four, Rooney scores his 200th goal, and in news from 2011, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 2016, Arsenal lose away to Stoke City, where Monreal hesitates and Hesse waits for his chance. We'll touch on Europe if there's time, and we'll also proudly turn to Toronto FC, who fired their way past Chicago with Nicholas proving that the hassle is real. On we go. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com and at under_thekosh on Twitter. My name is Alex. Mohanad is with me.
Hi everyone.
Bernie is here.
Hello.
Roche is missing again, but in his place we have Laura Armstrong of the Toronto Star, sports journalist, podcast co-host, and general Toronto promoter. How are you?
That's me. I'm good, thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Happy to.
And just so everyone knows, what is the name of your podcast?
It's called I'll Have Another. It is currently in hiatus, but we are hoping to have it back soon.
Nice, please do.
We sort of bounce between seasons, so it's not always the easiest.
Like Game of Thrones?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, okay. is as anticipated. So, where is Roche today? Why is he not here?
Coldplay
are in town.
Is that a reasonable excuse?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely.
I think it is. I mean, according to them, this is the fifth highest ever selling show in the world, like ever. Like
with Toronto?
No, ever.
Why?
Because the Rogers Centre is huge.
This is new Coldplay.
Yeah, but it's Rogers Centre, right? Like, yeah. Anybody who lives in Toronto should go see a concert at Rogers Centre.
I saw Springsteen.
Oh, that's better.
That was worth missing a pod. Not that I did.
Yeah.
I'd have been okay with it.
Yeah. I know priorities, guys.
The thing is that they're here tomorrow, too. Could have went then.
Oh.
Well, apparently his work friend bought him his ticket.
He doesn't have any friends, that's a lie.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Harsh. All right. other admin. Bernie, wedding update. 1 week closer. How are we feeling?
Oh, wow. We're doing this? Yeah. Okay.
Squeaky bum time?
Yeah. I don't know what to say about that. But I guess all my transfer dealings are done. Window's nice. About to close.
Yeah. Window is about to close.
Exactly what I wanted you to say. Yeah. All right. Laura, you cover for the Toronto Star, the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yes.
Which is less fun this season, possibly?
Not happy.
Yeah. And Toronto FC, which is a lot more fun.
Very happy.
Okay, yeah. So let's start there then.
Okay.
Chicago Fire 1, Toronto FC 3. You were at the game? No.
No,
it was in Chicago.
I was here.
But
yes.
You were covering it?
I was covering it. I was watching it. I think this is probably an opinion that most people don't have, but not a great performance from Toronto FC.
No, I agree.
I think that they could have put an 8-1 win past Chicago if they really felt like it, not just because of the fact that they could have been more dominant. Sebastian Giovinco seemed off, Josie Altidore seemed off to me, but the fact that Bastian Schweinsteiger is playing sweeper. Like, how often do you see that? Like, are you kidding?
He can't really run past anywhere, so he needs to play sweeper.
The deepest role.
He's the reason, though, that they got their first goal. Like, he held Marky Delgado onside. I talked to Marky Delgado today, and he said to me, I thought I was offside. He put the ball in the back of the net as insurance.
Right.
And then it was like, oh, Bastian Schweinsteiger is holding me on. That's great.
He was off the screen, and I was trying to see, like, why has he not been called offside? And he was so close to the screen that he was almost off. I'm like, how could the ref not get this one right? And then you see the replay with a different angle, and you're like, wow, Schweinsteiger is just miles getting off side. But no, sorry, I was going to say, I agree, at 1-1 and even at 2-1 to TFC, it just felt like Chicago could sneak back into the game. They had a few chances. Mm-hmm. TFC weren't as dominating as... Well, I guess they could/should be.
Well, I thought Giovinco and Altidore had very weird games. Mm-hmm. They were involved enough, but their first touch seemed to let them down. Their finishing wasn't great. It was a bit like they were both on pain meds or something. Something was slightly off with them.
And that's scary, isn't it? Because Chicago, I think, are the second best team in the league, at least in the Eastern Conference, right? They're second on points.
And New York now.
New York now? Well, they were there, thereabouts. And Toronto FC clearly had another gear to go to against this team.
Yeah.
That should scare the rest of the league. Because if Altidore and Giovinco are not playing well and they still have another gear to go, it's looking good.
Are they not scared already?
the rest of the league.
Well, I mean, did you see what Patrick Vieira said today?
No.
Yeah. He conceded the league, basically. He said, supporter shield, the race is done. Which I think, and as I saw on a column on MLSsoccer.com, that he was playing a little bit of Mourinho tactics there, he was like, I learned a little bit when I was at Man City, and like I'm ready to concede, but...
Did Vieira say NYCFC are the little horse or the baby horse?
We actually have horses coming up later. Mourinho's back on
the
his
funny
horse.
Thing about that is I was reading an article and on that what Vieira said, and I don't know what statistician does this or whatever, but apparently the chances of TFC have 80% chance of winning the supporter shield,
right?
Which I mean, again, it could be some croc like Rocher doing this stuff, but for all I know, that sounds pretty good to me. Yeah. And the supporter shield, I was telling Alex today, if TFC win the supporter shield, everyone else wins the supporter shield, no one cares. If TFC wins the supporter shield, it then becomes a big deal.
Well, are they not chasing the LA Galaxy all-time points record?
Yeah. So they're at 50 right now, and the all-time points record is 68. And they have the chance of getting to, I believe, they have 9 games left to play. 27 more points times 3 points, so they have the chance to get to 70s.
They could smash it.
Yeah, they could absolutely smash it.
Nice.
I mean, speaking of that, the one thing that was really weird, Jovinko didn't smash that 1-on-1. I thought he had the really good chance to just lob the keeper. Like he's the kind of player that will take that chance. The keeper was so far off his line, and I thought, here we go. We're gonna see an incredible goal highlight reel, and he's just gonna chip him. And then he decides to kind of try and go around him, even though the angle was so tight because the keeper was so far forward. I don't know. Just a little upsetting. I was really looking forward to
Maybe he gets tired of scoring outstanding goals every week.
Yeah.
You know, it
looks... He doesn't. I can tell you 100% he does not.
It looked to me, though, like that he was enjoying the free kick opportunities. Like, that's what he really wanted. It was just like, let me stand here on the edge of the box and line this up. But, you know, TFC got there in the end. And let's talk a little bit about Niklas Haslett, who... Was this his second or third game?
Third. His third game.
Okay. Comes in, right wing back. Beta Shaw still coming back from injury. And a goal and an assist. Well, sort of an assist.
I've always said Beta Shore could be upgraded. I'm just saying.
You have.
Yeah, you didn't think it would be Hassler.
I'm not saying who. I'm just saying I just felt that that could be a position where you could upgrade a little bit.
I don't disagree with you. I don't think Beta Shore is a bad player, but he is not Justin Morrow. And I think that is what makes him seem like he's not a wingback. He's a defender, in my opinion. He doesn't necessarily fit the 3-5-2 that TFC plays. And Hassler, you know, Greg Vanney has said this. He said this today, Hassler offers them an attacking edge that Beta Shore doesn't. But if you're coming into a game where you want to be defensive, Beta Shore's your guy. I think it's going to be a tough one.
Can I just say, Laura became my new favorite person? Because when you say he's a defender, not a wingback, everyone knows on this podcast now, I hate this concept of people talk about right backs, but they really talk about wingbacks. Because a lot of these wingbacks cannot actually defend. But you're supposed to be a defender, apparently.
The game left.
That's why it's called back. You're supposed to be a defender. So I have a lot of love for Bitterstone because, like you said, he can actually defend.
They didn't know we had Paul Merson on the podcast.
How dare you!
But on the other side, Morrow has been having two fantastic games in a row now.
Morrow's unbelievable.
He's playing really well. I really do like Raheem Edwards. I went to the last game, and I really wanted to see him play. But Morrow is going to keep his spot at this point, and he deserves it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Raheem Edwards is 22 years old.
Yeah, he has time.
He has tons of time. Like, and I think that it would be interesting to see if you could get Beta Shore on the back three. If you're talking about him being a defender, if he could challenge to play left or right of the back, right side of the back three.
Who drops out?
I don't know. That's a thing. Yeah. But, you know, they have 9 games now where I think that it would make sense for them to rest some players. So why not rest Drew Moore? Why not rest Chris Mavinga? Why not rest Zavaleta? He needs some time.
Mavinga is such a beast.
I'm glad Mavinga's turned it around, actually.
Yeah. First game, when he slipped, and then he gave it up, and we were like, uh-oh. Yeah. But now, like even when you see him live as well, the guy pushes the ball, and you're like, nothing's going to happen, mate. Like, Mavinga has clearly got
very
this.
Very composed. Yes.
It's like you playing six-a-side, Bernie. It's like, nothing's happening here.
Finally said something right.
So yeah, I get 3 points on the road.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, TFC at this point, like Bernie said, 80% chance they should really Just pull it up.
Absolutely.
Should they have a parade? That's what I really think. Oh, yes.
Why not? Like, just do we it. Have parades for everything. Just add a TFC parade.
Laura looks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure. I don't know what they do there. That's crazy. I think that they need to hoist the supporter shield so that people pay attention to the playoffs. I think that's crucial. If people see them lifting a trophy, then they will get behind this team all the way until MLS Cup, which somebody asked me today if I would bet on TFC making the MLS Cup or not, and I 100% would bet.
Well, yes. The way Alex looks at it is the better TFC do, the more money we spend.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, well, they're doing great this season. Guys, I hope you're ready.
I'm putting aside a playoff fund.
I don't have any more money, so...
There is a website you guys can donate.
Just buy playoff tickets and then sell them on StubHub, and you can make the markup and be great.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
But don't tell anybody that I told you.
No,
to do
obviously.
That.
Yeah. Just we won't us. Tell everyone who's listening to the podcast.
I don't know who said that, but it wasn't anyone here. speaking of, you know how we were talking about how Beta Shaw can play right wing back and center back?
What's this?
Cesar Azpilicueta.
Hey!
can do the same thing. He plays for Chelsea and they beat Tottenham 2-1 at Wembley.
Yes, where Tottenham haven't won in what, like 9 games or something? 9 attempts?
4, but...
I think they've won 1 in 10.
1 in 10, that's the one, yeah. Mm. I mean, we did talk about where is it going to be a curse, is it not? Last season, someone was going through that. I can't remember who. West Ham. It's kind of similar.
The Olympic.
Yeah, the Olympic Stadium. Mm-hmm. But the difference is Tottenham actually didn't look bad. They looked okay.
I mean, they dominated the game.
Yeah, Lloris with uncharacteristic mistakes, though, because he's usually very solid. The second goal, definitely, he should not have conceded.
Let's talk about the second goal. Let's talk about the goal scorer. Because
Alonso?
I believe on this podcast, and I've said this before.
Here we go.
Mohamed made an emphatic statement that Marcus Alonso would be replaced. Do you remember this, Alex?
It was actually quite basic.
So, for context, Mohamed likes to hate on certain players.
Yeah.
And he felt that Marcus
Alonso...
I'm
totally into it. Yeah.
He thought Marcus Alonso would be replaced by Azpilicueta.
Well, I thought Alonso...
No, we don't get to speak.
No, you're right.
He thought that he would be replaced.
You're right, I did
and
say...
And now he's been brilliant.
Yeah.
Do you now accept responsibility for his statement?
I know, he hit a woman with his car and she died and he didn't go to jail, so I still
think
he did.
Do you still question his hair choices? Because I think he looks like a guy from Baywatch.
Yeah.
Better than Bellerin. Better than Bellerin's hair.
Well, that's...
Bellerin is
I mean, you choose to put highlights in your hair.
Yeah.
Does he have frosted tips? Is that
he has one?
Yeah, that color's not natural.
Yeah. Oh. The problem is when you score free kicks like that, you can pretty much do whatever you want there. Because that was sublime. That just
it's perfect.
Curled in so nicely. It just felt nice to watch. Like, it was aesthetically pleasing.
And he's like making his name for that. Like he's done it enough times now where if he's lining up, you get a bit scared.
What is that? It's reminding him of Beckham. I saw the glint in your eyes. This is Beckham.
But the person that is extremely happy is Batshuayi. Because he came on... brilliant header. Great substitution by Conte. Brought him on, scored a goal.
A striker's instinct.
Yes. And then, you know, he's really popular on Twitter. He was going to get roasted on Twitter. But then Alonso saved him there. Good 3 points for Chelsea, who started off the season really badly by losing to Burnley first game. So,
can we discuss how they did it, though? I mean, this was basically Catenaccio. I mean, they played David Luiz slightly ahead of the defense.
Who was?
Just basically marking Eriksen.
Yeah.
Then they had Christensen, who essentially started ahead of Pedro, if you kind of rejig everything. Azpilicueta was there. All the defenders. Mm. Just all the defenders.
Cahill on the bench watching on.
Well, that's his fault.
Yeah.
And they didn't really... I mean, they got the free kick, which was a really stupid thing to do from Dele Alli. That foul was nonsensical. So that was lucky. But beyond that, they didn't really attack. Or even try to.
When Chelsea scored the second, I think the commentator even mentioned it was kind of against the run of play. Spurs were 1-0, I think Chelsea were 1-0 up. Spurs then just were battering them, scored the 1-1. And then it looked like if anyone was going to score a goal, it was going to be Spurs. But you did mention Luis there. I think he was man of the match. Phenomenal in midfield. Just absolutely dominating.
Where he should play, because he's a terrible defender. Like, Christensen came on as a center back.
You watched last season, right?
No, hold on. He still wasn't very good. He was covered up
by who? Cahill?
But on that point, if you look at Christensen, he played like a proper center back in this game. He was immense. David Luiz has not reached that level of defending in years. That guy needs to go.
Wow.
Or he can play...
I thought I hated him.
He's purely rubbish. I'm just
saying. Yeah, but Chris... I don't even know his name. He's coming in two games in, and now Luis.
That's why they brought Rudiger to upgrade on David Luiz, not Marcus Alonso.
No, that's nonsense.
Yeah.
That's literally why they bought him.
David Luiz isn't going to play every game this season.
Yeah, he's not a centre back.
Okay.
We'll see.
Laura, what do you think of this game?
I think that, I mean, I know it's early, but, and I know that Chelsea parked the bus, and nobody parks the bus like Chelsea parks the bus, even though they park the bus definitely differently under Conte than they do under Mourinho. But if you're a Spurs fan, do you not worry that you spent like 75 minutes or 70 minutes or whatever attacking constantly and Harry Kane couldn't put the ball in the back of the net? Well, like, there was nobody who, I mean, there were a couple of chances, but never did I really think, and I was viciously hoping for a draw, but ultimately didn't work out that way, that, like, Spurs never really looked like they were going to score a goal.
That was the Kane shot that hit the post. Was the closest they got.
But like even that, like,
it's August though, and Kane does not score in August. Like, it's just that simple.
So far, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody in their fantasy teams, he will not score in August. Next game, he won't score.
I would love to see that stat. When Kane gets picked up by fantasy managers.
Yeah. Into September, but yeah. No, you're right. Even the first game against Newcastle, they had all the ball. They attacked all game, but they still had a lot of trouble. They could not break them down until Shelvey got that nonsensical red card. Mm-hmm. So you're right. They do have a lot of the ball, but they don't seem to be potent enough. And once Kane starts scoring,
I agree. Yeah. But it's just a matter of the first three or four games that they play in August.
Right.
Could come around and haunt them. Mm-hmm. You never know. And also, like, the offense has to be more than Harry Kane.
Agreed.
And that was non-existent. Like, the chances that came through were through Harry Kane, and if Harry Kane can't score in August, apparently, then, you know, you've got a big problem.
No, that's fair. And Pochettino said that he wants four players before the transfer window ends. One of them is Davinson Sanchez, who's come in as a centre-back.
Sorry, who wants four players?
Pochettino.
Oh, I thought you said Conte. I was like, really?
Yeah. Well, him too, probably. But another one seems to be Serge Aurier. This has come through today. I mean, there were rumors all summer, but notorious homophobe and police brutality expert, Serge Aurier.
Sure.
No problem.
Sorry, on the idea of Tottenham wanting four players, you want four players now? A week before the window?
Well, he's working with David Levy. Like, he gets what he...
What they're going to do is they're going to build less stand in the new stadium and afford these four players.
Anybody look more upset, though, on the weekend than Pochettino?
No.
Like, that man, it was going through, like, an existential crisis on the side.
He slouched into his chair so funnily. Like, he was just, like, in that whatever thought he had. He's just like, oh, that's it. Like,
to be fair, if I'd watched Wanyama have the day he had and forgot to take him off, I'd have been pretty depressed.
Before we move on, speaking of signings, Bakayoko did start for Chelsea.
He was good.
Played 90 minutes. He was good for his debut in the Premier League in the center of the field against a very good Tottenham side. Big game to get kind of thrown into. He played very well. It does help to have Kante and Luiz around you to kind of clean up. But he did okay.
He had lapses of concentration in this game.
Sure.
Which is what he's apparently, his player profile literally says, lapses of concentration. That is going to be an issue moving forward. Hopefully Conte can mold him into the player that he wants. I would just be very careful with that transfer because, again, he's actually still injured, so I'll give him that.
Yeah.
He's playing injured.
And another player with spectacular highlights.
Yeah.
Yes, literally. So speaking of haunted stuff, Arsenal went to Stoke away, which every time this game comes around, you go, all right, surely this is not it. Like, we've had enough. We're going to win this one. We can put that hoodoo to bed. No. It just comes back. And they don't even play physical. They don't, like, as much. They don't throw long balls anymore. They don't do what Stoke does, yet we still lose to them.
Laura
don't
has her hand, like, on her head. She's distraught right now.
Every time Ryan Shawcross comes anywhere near Aaron Ramsey, and honestly, I don't even like Aaron Ramsey most days.
Thank you.
Every time he comes near Aaron Ramsey, I'm like, get away from him. Like, we can't afford this.
Laura is now my favorite person for saying she does not Aaron Ramsey.
Sign Ryan Shawcross. Right?
just
keep him away from Ramsey.
And then put him in the reserve.
I need a defender. Hey, this could work really well.
Also, the Stoke fantastic supporters kept up the tradition of booing Ramsey for
getting
his leg broken by one of their own.
Not funny now?
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's what it is.
I think it's hilarious.
To be fair, they've got Mark Hughes. The team is boring. They never finish anywhere other than ninth. You've got to have something to maintain your interest. And Aaron Ramsey is that something.
See, I don't know. I find Stoke interesting. on a very different level. Like, they bring these ridiculous, like, players.
Like Shaqiri.
Like Boyan.
Shaqiri, Boyan, and now Hesse. It's like, and then to see them sometimes, once in a while, do something good, it's fun.
Sure.
Like, they scored a fun goal.
We don't really like Mark Hughes very much.
Not at all.
I'm a fan.
Why? He hates Arsene Wenger, though.
I love Arsene Wenger more than a lot of things. I generally consider him like my grandfather. That's how I feel about him. But I...
Can you tell him to sign more players?
I mean, I wish that I had that ability.
You feel like he's a drunk grandfather you just need to put in a home at this point?
No. He's like a philosopher.
Right.
He kind of reminds me of like Harry Potter's like Dumbledore. Like you just go to him for advice, but ultimately in the sixth book he dies.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dumbledore went away.
No. Wenger never dies. Like, that's the only difference with him and Dumbledore. He just also, when you go to 7, 8, 9, 10.
You go to Wenger for advice, he just gives you a riddle.
And you just figure it out. Yeah. Anyway, so the Lacazette started the front, as usual. Very quiet game from him. Ozil behind, again, a very quiet game. Overall, just Arsenal never got going. Bellerin had a horrendous game. Xhaka had a horrendous game. I mean... Everybody had a horrendous game.
Yep. Apart from Ox, statistically.
Well, Ox is our best dribbler. He's the only one that can actually push a ball past someone.
And like, cross.
Yeah. No one else can actually do that very simple push it. Like, Bellerin has pace, Theo has pace, but none of them can actually get past a player.
I don't know why anybody puts Theo Walcott on the field.
No, correct. Or, like Lacazette, you're chasing a goal, you take off Lacazette to bring on Theo Walcott, keeping Danny Welbeck on the field.
As a number 10.
I just want to, like, jump out a window or something. I don't know.
Honestly, because it's actually ridiculous.
The only moment that I took away from that game that I actually liked, which was basically 90 minutes of agony, was when Lacazette scored that goal that should have been a goal. Yep. And I'm not usually on the VAR train, but, like, I was very much on the VAR train that day. Not to say that they maybe shouldn't have had a penalty called against them, and they maybe should have had a penalty called for them.
Yep.
You know, the intricacies I don't want to necessarily get into. I don't think Arsenal lost the game based on that. But the way that he took that shot, I thought to myself, that guy has a nose for goal, and I am happy he is on my team. Yeah,
agreed.
It was emphatic.
Arsene Wenger's team, but whatnot.
But my question is, why not sooner? Because this is not the first time he's been linked with Arsenal, that people have discussed the potential transfer. Why now? Why not before, when it was clear that they still had a need for that?
Because we never have superstars at the same time. It's like not what we do. So, like, that's going to come in because Sanchez is going to go. Like, we never have them all together. Like, Cesc, then Van Persie, then Alexis, then now Lacazette. Like, why put them together? Like, this, you know.
But there are other reasons. Walcott was going to be the striker.
Yeah.
So we didn't need him. Welbeck was going to be the striker. Giroud was going to be the main man for a whole season. Alexis was going to be the striker.
Ramsey was going to come back with
another three goals.
Yeah. But speaking of kind of bizarre decisions, so after the game, Arsene Wenger said was not convinced by a central defence, but he played two left backs there with Mertesacker and holding on the bench. So like.
But is Mertesacker's face okay to take?
Mertesacker's face is okay. It was never okay, anyways. I mean, look at it. Two, Holding got dropped completely. Like, fine, he had a bad 60 minutes last game. He's a young guy. He's been fantastic for us so far coming in. And now one bad 60 minutes, and he's not even on the bench.
Sorry, it was Monreal, Kolasinac,
and Mustafi, who, by the way, is the biggest waste of 35 minutes I have ever seen. But we won't get into that too much.
I think that they gotta do something with Monreal, though. I think he had a great season for most of last year, but right. I think that he's lost a step, and I just don't think that you can continue with that guy being the guy you rely on.
Right.
I thought that's what Kolasinac.
Kolasinac is right, he's left wing back.
Yeah.
But
so like Monreal isn't supposed to be playing.
No, he's there because Koscielny is out.
Back and Kolasinac takes over his place. And
honestly, ultimately, all of Arsenal's problems come down to this: is Laurent Koscielny healthy? Is he playing well? When he is, everything is fine.
So you're a one man team.
Yes.
And it's Koscielny.
Yeah.
And well, it's fine.
That was nowhere was that proved more than the Champions League final.
Whoa, what was that?
In Arsenal's final Champions League game of last season, where, what was it? It was like Bayern Munich, Arsenal
It was 10-2 aggregate, oh, God, but yeah, with him on the field, we like won the tie or something. Yeah. It was stupid.
It was like Koscielny on the field, Arsenal win, off the field. Anyway, that's probably enough.
I have to say goodbye to him. I might quit.
Yeah.
I might not be able to do it anymore.
His Achilles.
My lifeline might be gone.
Right.
All right. One more Arsene Wenger quote before we move on. We had last year the highest number of penalties. What?
No accent?
Fine.
Okay.
We had last year the highest number of penalties against us at home by a mile and the lowest number for us. So I just give you the numbers. I don't say anything else. That is not true.
Fake news.
Alternative facts. Yes.
Okay. Let's move on.
Don't talk about my grandfather. Sorry.
It's personal now.
We put him in a home. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Mr. Armstrong, we apologize.
Bernie.
Yes.
United are going to win the league, do the treble, go unbeaten, win the World Cup, the Copa America. It's all done. It's over.
I think we're winning that Samsung the Olympics team thing. Yes. Like in space, we're winning that.
Why is everyone else playing this season?
Yeah. Right here. Just perfectly good with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So tell us, how do you feel about your team this season? First two games, 4-0, 4-0 or something?
It's the first two games. I'm not trying to get carried away. The difference is, people said, oh, they won the first three games last season. The difference is the performance level is completely different level. It's actually the way we want to play.
Right.
Speed. The passing play is different. They're very, very capable of scoring goals. Everyone who was playing kind of last season, maybe Mkhitaryan for a bit, Pogba, they've all been outstanding against teams that they would have basically been trash against.
Right.
You know, the Swansea's, the West Ham's, they did not take these teams to the sword last season. So I'm very happy with that so far, but wary of what's to come.
I think two huge differences. One is Matic, who has been man of the match for two games in a row. Unbelievable. He's been incredible. Just Mourinho, if he can get him to play like this all season, this would be a fantastic signing. Because people said 40 million for a 29-year-old, Matic really like blah, blah, blah. But he's been fantastic.
You said that.
Sure.
I have to say on that, Matic is a wonderful player. I'm very happy that we have him. I don't think he was the man of the match in this game. He wasn't as dynamic as he was in the first game. He was very reliable. This is the Matic at Chelsea that we saw against Swansea. The guy, I thought Pogba, I thought Mkhitaryan, they were both fantastic. Mkhitaryan has 4 assists this season in 2 games.
Yes.
Wonderful. But to me, the difference in this team, Matic is one, but Lukaku is the other. Because Lukaku holds the ball and allows people to run off of him.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what Zlatan did not do. Zlatan plays for Zlatan.
Right.
Lukaku brings everyone else in. It's no surprise that we get more goals from other players.
We keep mentioning Lukaku is plan A and plan B. Mm-hmm. He can do both, which is why I think he's so highly valued.
Which is weird because that leaves no role for Fellaini, who is a professional plan B.
You can find him at Shoppers Drug Mart.
Wow. But I think Pogba is the one that really stepped up these last two games. Because I think before the season started, I think I mentioned that I feel that if Pogba steps up, United goes up a whole new level. Pogba right now, he's playing deep, kind of creative player. He's creating assists. He's scoring goals. He's pretty much doing everything in one so far. Yes, at Swansea West Ham, but I just think that it's a huge thing for United if Pogba steps up.
Stat, he has 4 in his last 5 official games.
4 goals?
4 goals in the last official 5 games. He's been on a roll. He obviously took him time, but towards the back end of last season.
That's with the Ajax final.
Well, Ajax, Palace, whatever else was in the season, he scored 4. Now it's 2-2. So he scored 2 at the back end. And his form, people don't realize this, his form towards the end of the season was actually very good last season. So he's just picking up where he left off.
This is Mourinho's second season, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is when it happens.
Second season syndrome.
Lord, is it going to happen?
I hope not.
Well, I know that, but like, is it gonna?
I don't know. The squad sort of reminds me of TFC's squad, where they're like kind of good all over, which is fantastic. And I don't mean it in a bad sense whatsoever. But I do think in some areas of Premier League, there are moments where when teams are good all over, they need a star. And if Paul Pogba wants to be that guy,
mm-hmm.
then I think that, yes, it's going to be mm-hmm. the year. But I don't necessarily know, based on his history, that he's going to be. That being said, something that really stuck out to me in the United game, I think, was Pogba celebrating with Lukaku. Was mm-hmm. that Pogba?
Yeah.
He seemed like he cared.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I saw that last year. He seemed like he was like inherently there.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to be getting along with Lukaku, and
mm-hmm.
they seemed to be working very well together. If Paul Pogba is happy, I think that this team is going to
The interesting thing with what you just said, which is perfect, is so when Lukaku scored, I think, the second goal against West Ham last week, Pogba jumped on his back and did a celebration. This time they literally did the same celebration but the other way around, where Lukaku jumped on Pogba.
Guys are analyzing cuddles now.
I mean, this is...
Yeah, but yeah. I literally saw it. Yeah. I really do. I analyze Ozil's Instagram account. So,
I did too. It's okay. But yeah, no, I think with what you're saying about Pogba, is it does help when you're playing well to be in a good mood.
Absolutely.
And so, with your mates.
And with your mates, yeah.
And when you're in a place you like.
Yeah.
The one thing
I will say... And it's hard to like Manchester, I mean, the city is not...
I went there. It's nothing.
Yeah.
But fortunately, he came from Turin, which is allegedly like the Manchester of Italy.
There you go.
Turin's a lot worse, apparently.
Yeah.
So but on this game, the first half, and one thing about this, first half of West Ham, a bit sluggish. The first half an hour was a little bit sluggish.
Right.
So they picked it up when they scored the first, and then floodgates open against a bigger team, better team. I don't know if they can afford to have a sluggish start.
Right.
Okay. I've got a couple things to get through here. First, some Mourinho quotes very quickly, because he's been in the mood. Manchester United boss Jose Mourinho said he let the horses run freely. He loves the horse analogy.
He loves the horse analogy. Absolutely. He should sign Andy Carroll.
Yes.
Do you think he bets on horses?
Maybe
Alex Ferguson's horse.
Also, his players are huge. So they are a bunch of horses.
I mean, United fans on Twitter were just so happy at the height that United have this season, like 6-4, 6-3, 6-4. Like.
There's a quote from a United fan who said, well, Fellaini runs like a horse, but the one that's just been born, that doesn't know what his knees are yet.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is savage.
Yeah.
But also
but
spot on.
100% true.
Next up, speaking of analysing body language, Mourinho is doing a bit of his own analysis on himself. I felt in control. If you had the chance to look at me and my body language, I think you could see that.
Oh, nice.
What is wrong with him?
Yeah. Well, he also did say, he was asked about Rashford being booed, and he went, oh, well, you know, he's a young Englishman who plays for the English national team who these supporters support. Oh, sorry, they're Welsh.
He's the antithesis of Conte right now, who literally jumped into his assistant's arms when Chelsea scored that goal.
I think there was a moment where it was like the third goal or something, and the whole United bench were so happy, and like Mourinho just sat there, and his assistant, I think, gave him a little tap on the knee, like, come on, man, like, he could kind of show some joy.
No, but he was in control. Didn't you see that?
He should have just said Rashford was trash in this game. That's what he should have said.
Trashford.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Last one, sorry. At the moment, everything is going in our favour, but it's not always a motorway. You find difficult roads and roadworks, especially if you're a horse.
No, he did not.
No, no,
I
doubt
it. That was poetic, though.
Sorry?
That was poetic, though.
Yeah, but why? Like, he's all with the analogies today. I don't know. It's
Remind
weird.
Me who United played in their first game.
West Ham.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't hit anybody of any world yet.
But from a guy who parks buses, this motorway analogy is very good.
Mm. He knows his motorway.
You don't park a bus on a motorway. That will cause
all sorts of problems. Mourinho would do that!
Right, let's go to Moomoo of the Week.
Happy Moomoo. One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day Mumu go wake up.
All right, welcome back. So we've got Mumu of the Week, where we talk about off the field fools and idiots. And I'm so happy with this one. It's Breitbart, my favorite alt-right conservative news.
I didn't know you had a favorite one.
I have to have a favorite one of everything. I have to. It's either them or it's Daily Stormer or something like that.
Oh, Christ.
But anyway, the reason why Breitbart are in this is because they put out an article titled Spanish Police Crack Gang Moving Migrants on Jet Skis. And the picture that they decided to use, right? And Mono appreciates this because he's our featured picture guy, right? It was Lukas Podolski on the back of a jet ski having a great time on a holiday.
While secretly, like,
posing as a Spanish crack.
Yeah.
But it's also a picture from 2014.
So there's too many things wrong with this.
Yeah.
He was too busy getting fired.
There's another thing that I've just noticed, which is if you look at the headline, there's no punctuation, right? So a Spanish police crack gang moving migrants. So it's a Spanish police crack gang, which is a whole other thing entirely.
Oh, wait, is it Spanish police crack gang? Like they're cutting down on it?
No,
is that what that is?
The crack is supposed to be the verb, but because there's no punctuation, like
it could be anything. Oh, I thought it was crack like cocaine.
Oh. Right, no. Great.
Do you want to hear what Breitbart said after they were informed? Yes. Okay. A previous version of this story included an image of Lukas Podolski on a jet ski. This image appeared as an illustration of a person on a jet ski. Breitbart London wishes to apologize to Mr. Podolski, the editor's note read. There is no evidence... This is the best bit, right? There is no evidence Mr. Podolski is either a migrant gang member nor being human trafficked. We wish Mr. Podolski well in his recently announced international retirement.
Wow.
It's surreal, man.
Well, that's incredible. I mean, I think...
Firstly, if you're going to write a story about this, wouldn't you do some undercover journalism and take a picture of a migrant on a jet ski?
Yeah,
wouldn't you have that ready on the USB?
Well, no, you're probably not going to actually find that. Yep. Because that's a mental way to human traffic someone.
So Podolski is suing them?
He said that his manager said they might sue them, and I hope they do.
Right?
Yeah.
There are so many people that I would like almost believe this about, but Lukas Podolski. Like, if you think about like the reputation that Lukas Podolski has as a soccer like
happy-go-lucky
player, there are so few players that have that reputation.
Like, if John Terry was on that jet ski,
God.
You know what? Let's look into this.
Yeah. He is probably running a human traffic. Yeah.
Actually, if it was Jovino, who has run a human trafficking operation.
True.
My God.
Racist Bernie.
what else do we have?
Steve McLaren has joined Maccabi Tel Aviv as a consultant. The quote from the club is that he has a wealth of knowledge and is vastly experienced at the highest levels of European football.
Massive
again,
experience of failing.
Yes.
Yeah. Is this better or worse than Tony Adams with the Azerbaijan stuff?
Better.
It's slightly better.
Better, right? Nothing's going to beat that.
I think you're a little harsh.
Highest levels.
No, no, okay. The second highest level. At least he won the Dutch league.
How many levels
at
are there?
At least he won that.
Is that the second highest level?
No, that is like the fourth highest
level. Okay, the highest level is what? Premier League, Serie A,
Champions League.
Yanni.
Yeah.
And then what? Like, where is?
You've got seven levels.
Where is Liga on this?
What's happening and where is MLS here? Because I am having too much trouble with this conversation.
Yeah, I think we just realized that winning the Eredivisie is kind of like 17th on this list.
That gets you an assistant manager job somewhere. It's...
Apply for whatever.
So Dortmund are in trouble, basically.
Yeah, we are a...
I think you guys are savages.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You know what the connection here is? Bernie, you'll like this. The manager of Maccabi Tel Aviv is Jordi Cruyff, who was a player at Man United when McLaren was assistant manager.
I'm sorry, stop. He's a manager? Or is he like sporting director?
Both. Like, sometimes he's one,
this
sometimes he's the
other.
This
team is going to hell. I'm
basically,
sorry.
Whenever they sack their manager, he takes over as manager. And then he goes back to being
that
sporting director.
That is terrible. Now this explains a lot.
You should be putting your job application out right now.
We have many times to many clubs.
Yeah, we have tried to be managers.
Okay, well,
clubs.
If you would like me to be a manager,
call
me.
Cool.
You can make the move to Israel on a jet ski.
Fantastic, no
problem. Podolski will take you.
Yeah.
All right. I'll be more.
One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day Mumu go wake up.
Back to the Premier League now, and Manchester City took on Everton at the Etihad, where the atmosphere was rubbish, and the game ended 1-1.
The Etihad?
Etihad, exactly. Nice. Let's talk about Kyle Walker, shall we?
Kyle Walker with the hyphen? Isn't there like a new
Peters,
one?
Peters,
There's Kyle Walker Peters.
Yeah, not the Peters one.
Oh, okay.
Not the Peters
one. The old one.
The original, 1.0.
Oh, we're talking about the old guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about him for as long as the time between his two yellow cards, so we can move on.
2 minutes?
Now. Yeah.
That's actually way too much.
That's
time.
A lot
to
time.
Kyle Walker.
He got, his second yellow was his elbow. I mean, it seemed a bit softish, but he did look at the guy, and then he backed into him with an elbow for no reason. And whatever, I'm not complaining.
They didn't even need VAR for that.
Yeah.
That's how, like, come on.
Yeah, no, if you're on a yellow, just don't.
Yeah.
Like, simple as that. But he's always been thick. And I said that when he left Spurs, like, Pochettino did an incredible job with him. And I'm interested to see what happens when he's no longer under Pochettino's wing. And so far, it's going brilliantly.
I am really worried about Pep.
Go on.
I thought this would be the season. I thought, here we go.
No.
Pep, when Pep goes...
change the game when you're an Arsenal fan.
Yes.
Last year.
When Pep goes, he goes. Like, he's got it all in place. It looks like he has this thing going. The machine is about to click. His signings haven't been that good, in my opinion. Walker, Danilo, a few, like, Sané is now playing wing back. It just doesn't feel like he has it. He's still playing around with it. And I feel, you know, if it takes 4 or 5 games to get into it, and these 4 or 5 games United win all of them, he's in trouble.
I think for context, I do agree. I don't think, I don't know if his 2 games in, I can't judge his signings yet. But Kyle Walker does not seem like a Pep type of signing. When he signed him, I kind of thought to myself, okay, maybe he's going to change the way they play. Maybe
he was an Alba's replacement,
he brought the guy, right? Like, to change the way they play based on last season. But he's actually doing pretty much the same things from last season, which then causes me confusion as to why did you sign this particular
he's
guy.
Also shoehorning Aguero into the team, which I don't think he wants. I just feel he doesn't want to play Aguero, but he kind of has to.
That's your own bias.
I don't know.
You don't like Aguero?
No, sure. I think Aguero is one of the best strikers in the league. I just feel like Pep doesn't like Aguero.
Well, he doesn't like Aguero.
Who likes Aguero?
Wow.
I like Aguero.
See, Alex?
City fans.
I like Aguero.
I don't even know if they do, though. Don't you feel City that they have like sort anything. Of a feeling about Aguero the way that some Arsenal fans feel about Sanchez?
I think about Giroud.
That's because our City
fans
are...
That's a whole other can of worms I can't get into.
Aguero at least gave them one magic moment.
True.
So there's
many.
That.
True. Aguero
is,
that magic
Aguero is the best player Manchester City have ever had.
There is an argument for that.
Isn't
he really is. And they treat him like shit because their fans are actually shit.
What are you saying about God cliche?
Good point. Back in Sanya too.
Yeah.
I can't play ball with either of you. But
yes, so let's talk about the other striker on the other team, Rooney.
He's a striker now again?
Rooney.
Well, yeah, he's a striker again
deep,
now.
False nine. False everything.
False thief.
False hair.
Yes. So, first game of the season, he scored a brilliant header, I thought. Really leapt like half salmon.
Half salmon.
Yeah. And then this game, really good finish, I thought. I mean, yeah, there was an element of luck that went through the keeper's legs and hit the post. Mm-hmm. But to connect with it on your left foot, on the bounce, the pass wasn't the best. I mean, I don't know why he chipped it to him as opposed to kind of just give him a regular pass. And I thought it was a great finish. And you know what? You can only finish what you have, and he's done it. 2-2.
And he finishes what he has every night.
Yes. Yes, and it's never peas.
No.
Guys, the critical thing about these goals that he scored, these two, obviously, 2 games in, it's not drawing any conclusions, but they're both Rooney running in from deep.
Yes.
Almost the same thing, except one was a cross header, this was a ball played across, he runs in from deep, you don't notice him, which is weird because he's so big, I'm surprised that the stadium doesn't rumble when he runs. But Wayne Rooney has scored the same goal in essence 2 times.
Everton have changed their intro music now, as Rooney comes on, it just says, "Are you ready to rumble?" And then everyone feels him. Other than that, he's been great. I mean, people always say it's only 2 games in, but I always think about, like, what is the other scenario? Bad first touches, sky shots, like, it could also be really bad. Yeah. So, like, you gotta give him the benefit of that. People always say it's still early doors. Yeah, but he could have been horrendous and we could be sitting here laughing
still
our asses off.
Still a good player. No matter what, he's still a good player.
Don't you feel like he's so much more likable when he's in Everton?
Yes, yes. I want him to do well.
I want to root for you.
Yeah.
And this is speaking as a person who, didn't he score his first goal in a 3-2 win over Arsenal? That
correct.
Was winning goal. I have deep-rooted feelings against Wayne Rooney.
He also died to end our unbeaten streak.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, mm-hmm. Yep, 100%.
He's also scored the most goals against you of anyone.
Well, none of these things are making me happier.
No, but okay, I'll make you happy right now.
Being at Everton makes me happy.
I'll make you happier. His 50th, 150th, and 200th goals were all scored against Man City.
Fantastic, I like that a lot.
Was one of them the bicycle kick?
I don't know if that was like that would be a great milestone goal, but I'm not sure that
one. The one he shinned in?
Dude, no one shins better than Rooney. Nobody.
I mean,
Everton's gonna rely on him for the rest of the season to be consistently scoring a goal a game. They're in trouble. If they can use him as a guy who can make an impact, they're gonna be fine.
Well, this is the question, right? So Sigurdsson and Klaassen were both on the bench. They both came on. But those three players all operate in the same space,
mm-hmm.
as far as I can tell. And the only striker they've got is Sandro, who, I mean...
So hipster?
Very hipster. Well, no, I mean, that's harsh. But, like, you're not going to rely on him for more than, like, 5 to 8 goals.
Right.
So,
which is why it's wrong.
Don't you think that Everton would be so fun to watch with Klaassen in the middle, Sigurdsson, and then Rooney just rolling around the pitch? Like, it would be so fun to
literally
watch.
Guys, I can't wait for Sigurdsson to play well. He's such a class player. Like, I love him. Like, he's so good.
Can I just say the stats are not on his side?
What, Sigurdsson's side?
The stats are not showing.
Which
stats?
He plays for Swansea.
No, I know.
Like, I know. You score one goal and you're a legend.
I know. This is my point. Is that he scored a couple free kicks. I'm not saying he's not a good player. I actually like him a lot. But this idea of paying $45 million for Sigurdsson to come into Everton, it's not going to be what people are expecting.
I don't think it's too far off to say he's kept Swansea up.
Yeah, but he did that before.
For seasons.
He did that before, right? Went to Tottenham, yeah. And nothing happened. And then went back again.
That really wasn't his fault. It was ABB, everything was crazy. Everyone was on like acid.
I'm just saying, people need to calm down on this Sigurdsson hype because you don't know what it's going to be.
Brittany hates hype. That's what it is. Brittany hates hype. He's like, give it a sec. Brittany's always like, give it a sec. It's like, why? I want to be happy now. He always like brings me down. Like, I love Sigurdsson. Can you calm down for a second? It's like, all right, fine. He's okay. Anyway,
Sigurdsson.
Guys.
That'll do it.
More horses on the pot.
I'm not sold.
Right.
You've got a season. I'll give you a full season.
Okay. I mean, I'll think he'll be delighted with that.
And generous. The fact that Everton has $45 million to spend on a player is baffling to me. Yeah. Arsenal can't seem to spend $45 million.
Like, you actually need a striker more than anything in this world.
Yeah, but
anything in this world. Decided to spend $45 million on Sigurdsson.
We have only a net spend of $7
million. Now it's what?
You know what? If Rooney works out for them, Sigurdsson, nobody's going to care.
Right. But Rooney's going to work out for one season. I mean, next season, they still need to pay like $50 million
for a striker. Yeah, Sigurdsson's, what, 2 years younger?
Anyways, I really want Everton to do well. So we'll see how they do. We talked a lot about Everton. Man City, are we done? I mean, Sterling came on. He
scored a goal.
I mean, he did the most Sterling performance ever. He hit one ball into row Z, clearly outside of the stadium. People are still looking for it. And then he scored a brilliant volley.
Mm-hmm.
That's Sterling. It's just... you don't know what you're going to get. We got both. Danilo came on, played okay as well.
Yeah.
Overall, I don't know. City need to... I mean, I've got De Bruyne and Aguero in my fantasy, and it's killing me. They need to play better.
You did that?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, beginning of the season, I'm like, they're going to kill it.
Pep team. Pep teams don't just stack stats. You wouldn't do that.
Pep needs Messi. If Pep doesn't get messy, then, you know, we're
that all... Are you trying to say that Lionel Messi is the reason why Pep was so successful at Barcelona?
No, but
this would be controversial.
Brittany agrees.
He benefits heavily from the best player in the world, arguably, okay. Playing on his team.
I will say some rumors right now, because I think this is the time where rumors are believable with the whole Neymar, Bonucci, whatever. Talks are that City are laying underworks for Messi season, who has not signed an extension yet. I'm just saying, say whatever you want. You would have said the same about Bonucci, about Neymar, about etc.
If Pep
et
doesn't get sacked before,
and
that.
If Pep sure. gets, no, they're not going to sack Pep.
He's going to bring 100% Messi.
I know that Messi's not coming.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
You know when Pep gets sacked.
Pep's the one that keeps those rumors going, just to keep Pep going.
If Barcelona lost Neymar and Messi in the same summer. The city would not only secede from Spain, it would secede from fucking everything. Like,
They would give up.
Just, yeah. Like, wave your little flags, like, call it a day. Yes. Liverpool 1, Crystal Palace 0. No repeat of Christian Ball. This was actually a fairly shit game.
Well, because to be fair to Liverpool, they had their European game, which they did really well to beat, whatever their name is.
Hoffenheim
2-1 away. So that's a very good result. And then they rested a few players. Salah rested, etc. Coutinho is rested. His back just hurts from carrying the team. He might be seeing a doctor in Spain.
Are you talking about Coutinho?
Yeah.
He's got transferitis, I think.
That's what he has. Coutinho.
He's gotta go, right?
He's going.
If Liverpool keep him, they're actually idiots.
Yeah, sell him now. Sell him for the highest.
He is not worth $150 million. He scored like seven.
Absolutely not.
He has like seven goals in his entire Premier League career or something. Listen, like, it's insane.
Coutinho is not good enough.
Sell Coutinho and buy 8 Oxlade Chamberlains, and it'd be fantastic.
True. Does that help you at all?
Great deal.
I mean, it doesn't really, but that's fine with me. My opinion about Liverpool is that they're all quite athletic and they seem really gung ho and woo, good for you guys. But like, no.
No.
Who is carrying your team? Coutinho, and you're going to sell him.
I'm just saying, you could sell... I think they knocked back, what, 115 million pounds or something like that? Like, you could literally finally buy Naby Keita.
Okay.
Even though I think he's trash.
He started the season brilliantly.
Naby Keita?
Yes.
Say this. We were talking to a Liverpool fan who listens to the podcast when Liverpool win. Because, you know, you want to listen to positive stuff about your team.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so far, it's not been going that way. They've won 1-0, and we just went, they're shit.
Okay, I'll be positive. Liverpool keeping a clean sheet is fantastic.
Money.
It really, really is.
They've
fantastic.
Kept five in the last six.
Yes, it's a myth.
No. It's not a myth.
I'm just saying.
They conceded so many goals. Yes, they did better towards the end of the season, and that's great.
Pogba.
But literally after the first week, this keeping clean sheet is actually very, very good. But if you watch the Hoffenheim game, don't tell me that Lovren can defend.
No.
He was absolutely terrible
in that
game.
Has anyone said that?
Lovren was on the bench.
The thing
game.
About them not having a good defense is true. Also, they conceded the second most goals from set pieces last season. So again, they are poor.
When you have Klavan and Mignolet playing, every clean sheet needs an open bus parade.
And also, when you're playing against Benteke, who literally is offered sitters, and he's like, no, fine. I'm just going to put the ball over
but
the net.
Again,
no worries.
Did you see possibly. How angry Ruben Loftus-Cheek was?
Yeah. He played quite well, to be fair. But another Chelsea, I guess, reject in quotes.
To be positive, Sadio Mane. Again, I remember, was it you who said the quote that if Barcelona had eyes, they would not look at Coutinho, they'd look at Sadio Mane?
Yes, to replace Neymar.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Absolutely fantastic.
It would be proper funny if Barcelona came in for a bid for him as well at the same time. Just we'll
take
one of
them.
The
middle, right? You get them both at the same time.
Sure.
Couple of quotes. Klopp, the second half was much better and I loved the goal we scored because it was not our best 1-2 in the game.
Don't understand it.
What?
Great.
I mean, I know he's eccentric, but
no, whatever.
Still my favorite. I love the guy to bids.
Okay.
He's crazy.
At 1-0 up, we made the ball do the work. We could have closed the game earlier. We didn't. It was an all-inclusive package.
Not one thing makes sense.
No.
Nope.
Okay. English? Is it English? Is that
vaguely. Frank de Boer, it could be a draw, a Liverpool win, or the other way. With our two chances, it could have been different. Thank you for that, Frank. Top analysis.
Yes.
That's the most Moises-ish thing.
Yeah. Had we scored, there would have been a draw. Had we scored two, we would have won the game. Thank you.
I'm happy for Liverpool because they lost three in a row to... at Anfield to Palace, and they ended this.
Oh, yeah. True. But Liverpool are one of those where I think we were talking a few podcasts back. I was like, keep Coutinho, you might kind of challenge, finish top four. Without Coutinho, it's a bit, it's really going to be down to the defense, I think, if they make that top four or not. Because they also have Europe. Last season, they barely squeezed in there without any European games. Now it's Champions League as well. So,
Mm-hmm. I just want an article on who could replace Coutinho, and it'd probably be a long list.
I just want to die before Liverpool has to play Arsenal on the weekend.
Donald Trump is on it.
It's too much. Yeah. It's too much stuff.
Before we move on, I just want to mention that their new signing, Robertson, at left back, had an excellent game.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be mandatory. You're going to hear that on every podcast. So, base covered.
True. Whoa.
I 100% believe that's not true.
Yes.
It is true.
It's not true. He did not have a great game.
Yes, he did.
No, he did not. I watched the game. He did not have a great game.
He was bombing down the left. He's putting crosses in.
I don't think he was special.
No Liverpool player consistently has a great game every game.
Rod just showed up and he's savaging Liverpool. Is that just Omar cannot be mad about this?
Liverpool love. I just can't get behind it.
Cool.
All we said was one player had a
good
game.
Literally, this love for Liverpool is
not you guys, but just Liverpool's a top 4-6 team.
Sorry, Omar, we tried.
Yeah, I mean. I think if you condense the positive parts from the segment, it comes out to 3 seconds. It was it was about their wannabe signing having a great start to the season.
I said Mane was great.
Well done, thank you.
Yeah, I'll give you
that's just African representing.
Again, we've done this twice on this podcast.
Southampton 3, West Ham 2. Marko Arnautović is a moron, discuss.
I mean, he's best friends with Ibra, so he gets some of his traits.
Except for the skill.
Sure, but traits that you can actually get, which is short temper.
And being a jackass.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought, what's his name? Chicharito scored two really good goals. Two very Chicharito goals, which is just off rebounds on the basically inside the 6-yard line.
But two goals that only Chicharito would know to chase.
Yep. He has never scored a Premier League goal from outside the area.
Yeah.
He has never been outside the area. he subs on in the area and leaves the field of the area.
It's like Counter-Strike, he's respawned
in the outside the area is lava. And he's just in there. He had an okay game. West Ham.
Skills. Finishing, agility, teleportation.
He had an okay game, I guess. West Ham had a horrible game overall. They did come back though from, I think they were 10 men down. They were 2-0 down. Mm-hmm. Came back to 2-2. I think everybody in that stadium was just worried.
Old man Zabaleta. Old man Zabaleta.
That was a harsh penalty. No. I'm not saying it's harsher than it's not a penalty. I'm just saying in football, the referees use when it is, the whatever it's called.
It was like, badly obvious.
It's 2-2. The team came back at 2-0 down with the man down. You usually don't give those. It's 93rd minute. You let it go.
Those?
Yeah, no.
He literally just shoved the guy in the back. What are you gonna do?
That's Zabaleta. He does that all the time. It's fine.
Can we move on to the important thing, which is that Joe Hart was being a massive bell end before this penalty was taken? He's like standing in front of Charlie Austin, like yakking at him. You know, doing the Joe Hart thing that never works.
It's just 7 goals conceded in 2 games, Joe. Maybe calm down.
He's like, rubbish.
Maybe retire.
It's not his fault. Yes. It's not his fault that they brought him back in. Adriano was good enough. I don't understand why. You just want to sign people for no reason.
We have no way of knowing if Adriano would have done better. But the fact of the matter is, Joe Hart is still trash.
Sure.
Yes.
I mean, he needs to lose his England spot. Not like it even matters who plays for England.
I think at this point he's lost it. Mm. Because Pickford has been very, very good.
Ooh, yeah, Pickford for Everton. Yes, yeah.
He's been very good.
Yeah.
After the game, Charlie Austin said, I was going to put it one side, and then Mark Noble came up to me and said, he knows where you're going, mate. So I said, right, thanks, Nobes, and stuck it in the other corner.
Yeah, I was going to put that for Mumu. Yeah.
There you go.
That's a good point.
All right, another few results just to run through quickly. Leicester 2, Brighton 0. All Brighton.
Mm.
There's a link.
Well done.
Okazaki scored again. Maguire had a good game. Mahrez looks in form. Vardy got injured. Anything else?
Okazaki's goal was from brilliant Mahrez work. He seems to be on it. He's had 2 really good games.
So he won't be sold then?
I mean, they said they'll sell him if a top 6 thing comes. And I think Arsenal should get in on it. Because someone actually made a really good point. People always say...
we're in trouble if we're thinking that Okazaki...
Yeah. No. Mahrez, not Okazaki.
Oh,
Mahrez.
Oh, yeah.
Laura actually was about to take a drink. She's like,
I'm
done.
Okay. Yeah, no, I can play that
game. I mean, like, people are like, well, why do we need Mahrez when we have Alexis? But it's one of those, we'll get him in, give him a season under his belt, and he'll be good next season. As opposed to, like, anyways.
Also, how many days are there until the transfer window's done?
7, 8.
100%
yeah.
Sure that Sanchez
I'm,
is going to be around.
I just... Anyway, you know what? No.
Okay.
He adds to the design of facial hair conversation as well.
Yeah, just...
Great. He's a great player. I love him. Anyways,
that's a whole other podcast that I can play that game.
Not really. We're 5th, mate. All right, like,
well,
Mars is doing
but
just
you
fun.
Should.
No, it's okay.
Mars.
It's okay.
You know Ulloa is still there?
No, I thought he had this whole, like, I want to leave.
Wasn't he a Sunderland?
No, they just didn't let him go there.
Wow.
So he just said he'd never play again. Sure. They're like, fine, you'll be on the bench for every game.
It's okay, he's making like 50k a week. I'll take that.
Sure.
Too.
Yeah.
Huddersfield 1, Newcastle 0. Aaron Moy Bien, very good goal. Although he looks like, he's another player that looks like Voldemort.
Wait, yeah. His name is Moy Bien? Like,
no, it's Moy.
I was scared as hell. Like, they called it Ray.
Alex's pun.
I have to say that, you know, in a positive note today, that the Premier League doesn't feel like the Premier League without Newcastle. And even though they're terrible, I'm so happy they're back.
I'm with you on that.
Yes. Yeah, I loved Sunderland-Newcastle games. I wish they're both in the league.
That's true.
I don't wish Sunderland.
No, not Sunderland overall. Just for that one game, I really enjoyed the Tyneside Derby.
Yeah.
Countdown until Rafa resigns. Because it feels like it's coming, doesn't
it? He should resign next week. They don't deserve him. They actually do not.
Well, they're not giving him any money to spend.
Don't give him anything.
Yeah.
Like I said last week, Hoseleu, really?
He's got to resign the day after the first Premier League manager gets sacked and then take that job.
Makes sense, yeah.
Or
I mean,
the day before if he gets that sort of inside intel.
I feel like that's West Ham.
I feel like it's Palace, De Boer.
He doesn't want any of us. I think he just likes the fact that he looks really slim in black stripes.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Has he been wearing black stripes?
Yeah, he's been wearing.
He's
training.
Just in the kit on the sideline.
He's always in the kit. It makes him look really slim. He loves it.
Burnley 0, West Bromwich Albion 1. You couldn't pay me to watch this game, but your boy, your Egyptian Ahmed Hagazi, man of the match.
Yo, that's a goal to win the first game 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
That's a clean sheet and man of the match in the second game.
And a bleeding head.
Killing it. He's 6'4". He's a monster. He's an absolute beast.
Best
player in the league. But West Brom did win 2 1-0 games, which you could predict.
West Brom knocked back a bid from Man City for Johnny Evans.
Yes.
Unbelievable. I am so happy this happened.
On which side, though? I mean, both unbelievable.
I'm happy that the bid was made because it made me laugh so much, but I'm also happy they knocked it back because they don't deserve Johnny Evans.
Okay. Sure, but West Brom do. He found his level. what else? Alice? One more game.
Bournemouth 0, Watford 2. Do we like Marco Silva?
I love Marco Silva.
Yeah, I like Marco Silva.
Laura, thoughts?
Yeah, I can play that game.
All right, Marco Silva, I've written never mind. Richarlison and Kapuwe scored the goals. Richarlison, okay, so there's the thing, right, when you buy someone from a different league, let alone Brazil,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, he's going to need time to adapt to the Premiership. He's 19, he just came from Fluminense and he's like, fine.
I will give a little insider thing to people who play fantasy.
Mm.
He's a midfielder on there, mm-hmm. but he comes on as a striker for Watford. So get in on that. Just saying. Just saying.
You don't hear this kind of thing everywhere.
No, this is why you listen to the Koshcast. Yeah, yeah. At 58 minutes in, if you're still here, this is for you.
Fair enough. The only other thing about this game was that Shalabar had a really good chance and he left it because Harjavalta basically said, leave it.
Yes.
That you can't do that. No. But he did it and the referee didn't seem to mind.
Wait, you can't do that.
No.
I know you can't say man on. Because to the opponent, you can't like distract the opponent, but you can't say leave it.
All these rules are like for us when we play. It's not a thing.
No, it is.
No.
Yep.
No way.
Like, is it officially in the laws is what I'm asking you?
Yes.
Like, to do what?
Actually?
What's the law? Like, you
I
can't yell?
I believe that is true.
Yeah. Yes.
Really? Yeah.
You can't yell or you can't just say leave it?
Like, no, like, you can't. Yeah, you have to be like, someone's ball.
Yeah.
Like, you have to say, like, if I'm going for the ball, it's Alex's ball. But I can't just say leave it because you don't know who I am, right? Like, Arta was coming in behind Shalabar. Shalabar has no idea who's there.
I did not know.
I mean, it would be similar like putting on the opposition's shirt for like a second and being like, hey, pass the ball.
Remember the time that Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain got sent off and everybody...
For Gibbs,
you know, things happen.
Things happen.
We assume that the referees know every single play.
But they don't.
But Andre Marin on that day clearly did not. So, and on certain days, you just don't necessarily know.
VAR now is going to be lip reading. Like, did he say leave it?
Well, clearly VAR can't tell between a joke and you know.
I'd be very interested to mic up every player.
Yes.
Just to hear the transcripts. Oh no!
Because then Rooney, you're just like, oh god.
Can we get Julian Assange on this? Oh. Someone can just like sort this out.
No, actually, what's his name? The Arsenal fan we talked about.
Troops?
No. On Twitter.
Clyde?
No, with the crazy Arsene Wenger hate.
Oh, you?
All of them?
No, we said Trump and we said him.
We said you.
What's his name?
Piers British Morgan.
Yes, Piers Morgan. He's famous for tapping up phones and stuff.
That's also true. Yes. News of the world, etc. Speaking of news of the world, go and read some. This is the end of the Koshcast. Laura Armstrong, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people find you on the internet?
TheStar.com. My author's page is Laura Armstrong, or on Twitter, which is easier, at Laura Army.
Cool. Lads, anything else?
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Laura Army.
Laura Army. what is the full quote? Red Army? Is it Red
Army?
It's
like Toon Army, Red Army. There's everything Army you just said.
Laura Army's Red Army. I'll take it.
Excellent. All right. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for downloading the Koshcast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh, and for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.